The Hayes Advantage with Kathleen Hayes and Vonnie Quinn. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
We turn now to China. An important story and a very interesting book. Almost 18 months after it roiled the Chinese political establishment, the Bo Xilai scandal is drawing to a close. The trial of the former Communist Party chief could start as early as this week. However, if Chinese leaders hope the trial will put an end to the most sordid political scandal since the death of Mao Zedong, however, they are wrong. The questions raised by Bo's case will continue to dog the party and undermine its credibility. An interesting, very important op-ed piece coming from our China Bloomberg News team. We introduce now Wen Wang. He's co-author of a book called A Death in the Lucky Holiday Hotel, Murder, Money, and an Epic Power Struggle in China. Wen, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Well, it was so, in a sense, unusual to have a story like this. A rising star puts his head up too high time and time again. His whole world really falls apart when a former colleague turns against him. His wife then accused and convicted of murdering a British businessman. Set the table for our listeners again. Who Bo Xilai is, why so important in China?
Great. Bo Xilai, he is the child of a senior Communist Party leader. His father used to follow Chairman Mao Zedong and founded the new Communist China. And he grew up being in a very privileged family, but then he suffered tremendously during the Cultural Revolution. As you know, China started the economic reforms, the open-door policy. He was able to rise gradually from a county chief to the party chief of one of China's largest city. And during the past 30 years, as we all know, that China's economy developed tremendously, so fast. But at the same time, there was rampant corruption and a lot of social injustice. There was a widespread social discontent. So when Bo Xilai was in this mega city of China, he implemented a series of policies that would advocate a social egalitarian policy of Mao, and also, increased spending on social welfare, and also, most importantly, he revived the Maoist culture during the Cultural Revolution, asking people to sing red Maoist songs, and then he had this anti-crime initiative that cracked down on mafia, and then because of the high crime rates. So he was widely popular, but then he had this unabashed ambition to join the highest decision-making body in China. And his such vaulting political ambition was seen as a threat to other leaders. And as you know, in 2001, in November 2011, and a British businessman was killed in a hotel in Chongqing, in his city. And later on, the police chief of that city disclosed that Bo Xilai's wife actually killed him. That whole thing set up a huge political scandal. And then he was brought down by his political foes. They successfully used this to oust him during the leadership transition last year. And now they have to give a justification to his ousting him. So they are going to put him on trial, and they are charging him with corruption. And, he's accused of taking bribes as much as $3 million and embezzling $1 million and misuse of his authorities.
When, just before we get to the details of this murder that happened and the other characters, which include his wife, by the way, Gu Kailai, who's already perishing pretty much in jail without any recourse to any kind of appeal or anything like that, take us back again to the split in the Communist Party. Bo Xilai was definitely a princeling. He was going to try and be the next sort of leader, but Xi Jinping was not going to give that role up very easily anyway, right?
No, he's not, because actually they all grew up together in the same compound for senior communist leaders. But then when Xi Jinping was designated as the successor, And there was a rumor that Bo Xilai was trying to plot a coup against him, try to overthrow him, because Bo Xilai believed that he was more capable. And that's why he initiated this whole program in this home city like Chongqing, and to show that he was more competent.
Now, there was a 16% growth rate in that area. It was a very successful area. Can we believe those statistics? And was there ever any reason to believe that he might have been able to do that in China as a whole?
Well, I think that right now the statistics has been revised several times, but he bragged that his 16% growth rate. But then it was mostly was injecting public funds, and then they found out that the city of Chongqing is running a huge deficit, budget deficit. It was just not sustainable. And but on the other hand, some of the social programs that he had, this wild popular programs of low cost housing for low income families, and then also he was trying to reissue the residential permit for migrant workers. You know, millions of migrant workers are getting to the city, but they don't get the same treatment.
But when in the end, is the sense here that it was more than anything Bo Xilai's political ambition and his overreaching, going beyond the sort of normal channels very prescribed within China of how you get to the top, that is his real crime more than corruption or any of that?
Exactly. That's what the government tried to ask you to let the public believe that it's more a corruption case, but everybody knows that it's more a power struggle. Because, you know, during the past 20 years, China is supposed to have this institutional leadership change. It's peaceful, rather than during the Cultural Revolution. Each time you were in power, and then you either died or you get imprisoned. But now they have a relatively peaceful transition. But then, you know, because they don't have an open and fair competition system, and in order to get ahead, you have to rely on family connections, and all depending on the person who, if they like you or not. So because of this, there will always be conspiracies try to get ahead, like Bo Xilai, use illegal means.
The trial is supposed to begin this week. China is much more of an open society now. What's support for Bo Xilai like in China, and what does a 2013 Communist Party expulsion look like?
Right now, it looks like the trial is going to happen, actually. It's supposed to be in mid-August, and then the public is anticipating the trial, and the police getting very nervous, and they just arrested somebody who threatened to stage a protest in front of the courtroom. But the whole thing is China right now. It seems like the leadership feels like the Bo Xilai case is no longer relevant to what is going on now. They want to use this case to demonstrate the party's determination to wipe out corruption. And also, they hope that China is able to go on, move on with its life, develop its sustainable economy. But right now, there are many, many issues that left unresolved. For example, the people believe that corruption is still a big issue. Bo Xilai is being charged with embezzling $3 million. That's a pittance amount compared to a lot of people who are in power. They embezzle more money. And also, there were a lot of the issues. For example, the center of the issue is who killed Neil Haywood. And then, even though everybody knows that his wife murdered the British businessman, but there is evidence suggesting that the police chief might have played a bigger role. But they will never be able to examine the issues.
Well, in fact, there's a terrific quote in one of our Bloomberg News stories this week. The headline on it is Bo Xilai trial, only tip of the iceberg. And they're quoting a former Chinese journalist who is now based in Canada. He's also a political analyst. The quote is this: Bo Xilai's trial will be a test of China's new generation of leaders, of whether or not they can live up to their promises to rule the country according to the law.
Right, but that's just I think it's wishful thinking right now. We know that political reforms or the rule of law will take a while to get to China. But we have to acknowledge that China has made tremendous programs, and even the new leadership right now, they try to move up some of the law enforcement authorities up to the central authorities to guarantee a certain level of independence. But since the Communist Party is a monopoly, destabilizing the country, and then the court will never be independent. So the rule of law will take a long time to come until, you know, really substantial political reforms can come. Otherwise, the business people who are doing business there in China, they won't feel the kind, they won't have the kind of safety. Especially if you notice, since from the business perspective, if you notice, each time there's a political scandal, lots and lots of business people, many business people, they get implicated. In this case, there was a billionaire person who was from the northeastern city of Dalian. He now is being charged with supplying Bo Xilai with bribes, and then he disappeared last year, and right now nobody knows where he is. So this is the same thing with every political scandal, business people, because they rely so heavily on their political connections to get ahead in order to get a deal done. So without an open and fair, transparent system, political system there, and I think that the business people will be very nervous.
Well, it's very interesting because the wife, who's actually the person accused of carrying out the murder, Gu Kailai, she is a lawyer, and she wrote even in 1998, we have a principle called based on the facts. As long as we know you killed someone, you will be arrested, sentenced and executed. So it's something that she as a lawyer has acknowledged. What about the future? Because it's pretty obvious that Bo Xilai is probably going to disappear. He won't be part of the communist sort of agenda for at least the next several years. But what about the son, Bo, who's currently in the United States? Is he planning some kind of political resurrection for the House of Bo?
Yes, I actually just did a piece on that. And then he has just enrolled at Columbia University. With Bo, you know, he's going to be gone. The possibility of a comeback is very remote. Some of his supporters, they pin the hopes on Bo Xilai because Bo Gua Gua, that's the son's name. He is charismatic and good-looking as his dad. He's received his education in the West, and people thought that, you know, as many other Asian countries like Mrs. Bhutto, and they feel like he is going to have a comeback in the future for the Bo family. But, you know, since last year, he served as the family spokesperson. When his dad was indicted, he issued a statement saying that his dad was always an example. So there is a lot of speculation going on. But the thing is, if China's political system doesn't change, even if he is allowed to go back, and then he might end up in the same fate as his family, because his grandfather was in jail for 10 years, and his father was, and now, you know, it's the same thing. But, you know, one thing for sure is he's able to enroll at the Columbia University. It shows that there's a secret deal going on between the Bo family and the government, because now he's allowed to stay in the U.S. without going back to testify in court.
Well, when, you know, one of the concerns that we've discussed on this show with people who watch China, not just politically, but, you know, financially, is that as the Chinese leadership tries to make a shift from export growth to a consumer-led economy, they're going to need wages to rise, but there's going to be dislocations. And the concern is that, if anything, instead of getting more political freedom, more democratic, that the leadership will clamp down even harder for fear that there could be social unrest if the economy doesn't go as fast for a while, if they try to make these really important changes in their economy. What do you see?
I think so. You know, right now, the Chinese economy is slowing. They can't keep it at a high pace all the time. But on the other hand, you know, rampant corruption and social injustice is always the cause of possible social unrest. So the government right now, they try to create a relatively high speed economic development to keep unemployment in check. At the same time, they really clamping down on you know, political freedom. They were hoping that they could remain power, and the communist power, the party, won't slip away. So in the future years, the government we can see that they will continue to clamp down on dissent and use any power to correct crush social unrest. But at the same time, they are implemented a lot of economic reform measures, like reforming the financial sectors and making sure the local government is not racking up this huge debt based on the real estate bubbles. But we'll see how it goes. Right now, they are at a crossroad, I will say.
Is Xi Jinping the right president for China at the moment?
I think right now there is a lot of anticipation in people, because after the past 10 years, the two leaders that they were really didn't do much, and then they were supposed to get the corruption under control, get the Chinese economy at a sustainable base, try to control the environment, but they didn't do much. People were extremely disillusioned, and people have pinned a lot of great hopes on Xi Jinping, and he had the right political resources. His father used to be a very open-minded reformist, and his family relatively clean, and then people are expecting him to do a lot of things. But so far, it looks like he is implementing a lot of the changes, like what Bo Xilai did in Chongqing, and try to seek inspiration from Chairman Mao, asking for social egalitarian policies. But at the same time, he's also supporting small businesses too. So it's the confusion picture, the contradictions that will always dog China for the next 10 years.
Wen Wang, first time on the show. Thanks for joining us. Hope you'll come back.
Thank you for inviting me.
Wen Wang, co-author of A Death in the Lucky Holiday Hotel, Murder, Money, and an Epic Power Struggle in China. Quite a drama.
The Hayes Advantage, weekdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, in New York on Bloomberg 1130, in Boston on 1200 a.m. and 94.5 FM HD2, or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2013 Bloomberg LP.